This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A suspect being questioned at this hour as a Miss USA hopeful seemingly vanishes into thin air from work. Tonight, where is Kata? We are being led to believe that there is a chance Kata is still alive. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. In the last hours, LA law enforcement making a public statement in the disappearance of Kata, the Miss USA hopeful, and they are on the search for a 1999 gold Toyota Camry. Listen.
We will ask for your help in locating this vehicle, which you'll get a little more information. It's a 1999 metallic gold Toyota Camry with a Pennsylvania tag of MSX0797. But we need to know where this car is. We need to find this car.
It's a gold color Camry, 1999. It has heavy front end damage on the left front bumper. All right, that's being described that way several times. We know it's been in the Mount Airy area. We have photos of it in Center City. We have pictures of it in Grace Ferry area and in Southwest Philadelphia. So it's possible that it could be anywhere.
There is a very strong belief within LA law enforcement that Kata has been in that Toyota Camry, that gold-colored Toyota Camry. This would not be the first time a case has been solved because of damage to a car. Let me refer you to the case of co-ed Molly Tibbetts, who was kidnapped, her case cracked because of damage to the kidnapper slash killer's car. Can we find Kata? I'll take you back into that press room in just one moment. But right now, I'm being joined by special guest Joe Holden, chief investigative reporter and anchor CBS News Philadelphia. Joe, thank you for being with us. A suspect is being questioned right now, but what the public can do, what we can do, is look for that gold-colored Toyota Camry. What else did we learn in the presser, Joe?
Philadelphia police essentially asking everybody in this city to stop and remember if they've seen that car or if they're seeing it right now to give them a call. We also learned about a suspect now being held in the case by the name of Keon King. He is charged with Kata's kidnapping. They have the homicide unit on this, not because they believe that she is dead, but they are using every experienced detective to try to locate this sparkling, beautiful 23-year-old woman who went missing on October 4th. One more thing. Keon King has allegedly done this before. He was charged in January with the abduction and strangulation of another woman. That woman did not appear for the first court hearing, and then in May, the district attorney's office withdrew the charges against Keon King. They say this man is following a pattern of behavior.
Oh, my stars. Joe Holden joining me, chief investigative reporter and anchor CBS News Philadelphia. You're reminding me of a case I prosecuted where the killer had strangled women before. They lived. They lived. He walked, just like in this case, and he ended up killing my victim. I'm not sure why that strangulation victim did not go forward with the case, but I guarantee you, Joe Holden, there's more in his background than that. You don't go from kindergarten to a law degree overnight. There's something else lurking in this guy's background, Keon King. Okay, I want to go through how she went missing. From what we know, Joe, she goes missing from where she was working. There's a lot of confusion about what time she clocked out. This is a facility, a care facility. What is it, Joe, from where Kata goes missing?
So it's an assisted living facility in the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia, beautiful part of town. We learned from police just moments ago, she's at work for at most 20 minutes. This is 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, October 4th. She clocks in and then she clocks out. Police say now she is in communication with this Keon King guy, and they leave together. She is not seen after that. Nancy, there are no cameras. There are no cameras in the parking lot. Police tell us that of all of the evidence they could have, they are missing the basic with when she leaves this facility. Where the hell does she go?
I don't believe
after
it. 10/20, I don't believe it.
October 4th.
Joe Holden, I do not believe that there is not a scintilla, a trace of
it's
digital
2025
evidence.
And she literally vanishes. She vanishes. She's not seen since then.
I mean, along
then,
the
we
route.
Have no
along
frame
the route.
Of video.
First of all, Joe Holden, let me call you on something. I find it very difficult to believe that Miss USA Hopeful went willingly anywhere with Keon King. You said they left together. That may be true, but I don't know whether it was willingly. Joe, I lived in the Chestnut Hill area, and this is not the worst area of town.
Not in the least. It is one of the nicer parts of Philadelphia. This woman, we don't know how long she was interacting with this Keon King, but let's just say for a fact, we know her phone goes dead not long after she leaves her place of employment. It has not been on since, according to investigators. But guess what? What information they did have with that phone is then paired with another phone. And that other phone they then used to go all over and track around her whereabouts. And then last week, there was this massive search at an arboretum 3 miles from where she worked. And we know that they turned that place upside down. Today, we found out they really didn't find anything useful in their investigation. But they've tracked phones in and out of that property a few times since police announced just last Wednesday that they were searching for this 23-year-old woman. And then, boom, there are phones coming and going from this property. Their tracking technology has police right on their tails. And then today they make this arrest with a charge of kidnapping. And we got to wonder, they wouldn't say, but what statements or comments is Mr. King providing to investigators to possibly lead them to Kata Scott? Where is she?
Joe Holden is with us, chief investigative reporter, anchor, CBS News, Philadelphia. Joe, what I'm saying is when I was living in the Philly area, and this is way back after my fiance was murdered, that was a safe, a very safe area where that assisted living facility is. And what I'm getting at is along that route, there has to be Ring doorbell cam. There's got to be a red light cam, something to pick up on where Kata was taken in that gold Camry, that Toyota Camry. And that is why we got to find that Camry, because it's going to give up evidence. See that damage on the front driver's side? That may be a distinguishing mark between that and every other gold Camry. M Mother S Sirius X, X-ray 0797. M Mother S Sirius X, X-ray 0797. To all our trucker friends listening now, please help us find this Toyota Camry, a 99 gold in color. Again, Joe Holden, I guarantee you somebody has a doorbell cam. Now, I want to go back to what you were saying about the phones traveling together. I've seen that in a lot of investigations. Specifically, just an example I'll throw out, Alex Murdoch. He was traveling along with his wife Maggie's phone until it was thrown out the window. All right. So that tells me she was in the car for that period of time. But very quickly, according to the parents, her phone started going straight to voicemail. What can you tell me about the route the two phones traveled together?
So the route we know from leaving the assisted living facility, police are guarded in providing specifics on that. We know that it is with then another phone, but they're not saying much about where it goes from there.
Okay, the fact that they're not saying anything, Joe Holden, tells me it's critical. They're probably looking all around this route to determine if there is a vacant lot, if there is somewhere where she could be being held. Did you get the impression from law enforcement, Joe, that they believe there's a chance Kata is still alive?
100%. That's how they're operating, that we need to find Kata Scott. We need to find Miss Scott. We heard from the district attorney's office. They have so much manpower looking for this beautiful, young, vibrant lady who competed in beauty pageants. Her father told me last week she was sort of new to it, but loved it, and they supported her. They wanted her to go far, and Her dreams were coming to reality. And now all of this pressure to find her, and they have a man that they believe to be central to her disappearance sitting in the homicide unit here in Center City, Philadelphia, who has to answer for what happened after they met up on Saturday, October 4th.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I'm still not buying into the phraseology of meeting up. I'm not down with that, because this is a guy that strangled another woman. What is she doing with him? I also know that she said she had been being harassed in the days leading up to her disappearance, and there's absolute evidence that that is true. But I want, you and I are talking about Kata, because we've been investigating her, we've been researching her, we've been watching her, speaking to her parents, looking at her online. I want everybody else to meet her. Joe, don't move, Joe Holden. Everyone, here's Kata.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kata, and I don't know what type of content I want to do yet. I think I want to do lifestyle, fashion, and girl talks. But this is what I'm wearing for today. This is pretty sundress. And also, I'm pairing it with these pretty purple glasses. I'm pretty much just going outside to look pretty. I might go to a cafe and just be productive. I don't want to make my thumbnails and stuff for YouTube, because I'm getting back into YouTube. I want to make my summer plan and my education plan and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to just take out with me. We're going to see what the day brings us. But
that is from @1-Kata on YouTube. Joe Holden, I swear, I think I'm going to be sick. She is so beautiful and vibrant, and she reminds me so much of my daughter, you know, planning her outfits and her makeup in school. This girl has just turned 23. She's a little baby, Joe.
Charming, beautiful, lovely. She had plans. She had education plans. She had fashion plans. And I know you're not buying that this whole meetup, and maybe police are being guarded about the interactions, but they're apparently now uncovering that she must have fallen into the arms of a monster, of a predator, of a man who has been charged once before with this type of behavior. And now the question is Kata Scott still alive? They're asking the entire city to look around, essentially, for that Toyota Camry. Police said it had been in Center City, Grays Ferry, all of these different neighborhoods. They're not even close to together. This car has been all over the city since last week. And now they're asking the public, find the car. We believe Kata Scott was in it, as well as the suspect in her abduction, Mr. Keon King.
Is he keeping her alive somewhere? Where is Kata? You know, Joe, him driving all around does not give me a good feeling about why was he driving that car all over the city and beyond, Joe? It's not like he was going to the grocery store and back, or to work and back like most of us do. Why is he just rambling around after he's taken Kata? I don't like it, Joe. What more can you tell us about your thinking on this, Joe Holden?
My thinking is that last week when police were crawling through this arboretum in East Germantown section of Philadelphia, they had something good to go on there. I believe they really did. And then the car is all over the city from one point to the next. Nothing geographically makes sense. He's moving around. He's doing something. And they had a tip of some magnitude that brought them to that arboretum. Yet they say they didn't find much, but I think there was something there. I know from my sources, they recovered a lot of stuff. They were trying to process what it could mean for her disappearance. I think that arboretum is going to play a major role as this investigation develops.
Joe, you keep saying arboretum. Okay. Explain to everyone what that is, and did law enforcement call in cadaver dogs?
The dogs were there. The cadets were there just to walk a grid search, linking almost arm in arm. It's a 55-acre property in East Germantown. densely wooded. They went through this property with a fine-tooth comb just on Friday. They gathered a mattress. They gathered some other evidence that they weren't willing really to disclose. But what they did pick up now today, they're saying, was really not really successful in terms of the investigation moving forward. But
well, thank God.
And they
thank
were
God,
linked.
Joe, that she's not buried out in that arboretum somewhere. Look at it. It's as dense as a jungle. Thank God. The few things they found, we think, are not connected to Kata, right?
Correct. At least at this point now, because they're saying the arboretum proved to be rather unsuccessful in the big picture.
This is my friends at CBS Philadelphia.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kata, and I don't know what type of content I want to do yet. I think I want to do lifestyle, fashion, and girl talks. But this is what I'm wearing for today. This is pretty sundress. And also, I'm pairing it with these pretty purple glasses. Pretty much just going outside to look pretty. Might go to a cafe and just be productive. I don't want to make my thumbnails and stuff for YouTube because I'm getting back into YouTube. I want to make my summer plan and my education plan and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to just take out with me. We're going to see what the day brings us.
Kata was building a life she loved, running businesses, volunteering, and sharing her journey online. But then the strange calls started. She grew more cautious of what she posted online and told her family she was being harassed.
As we go to air, we are trying to absorb everything we've just learned at an LA law enforcement press conference regarding Kata. They seem to indicate they believe Kata is still alive. The Miss USA hopeful vanishes from work. She worked at a ritzy assisted living center. There she is, absolutely gorgeous. Let's dip into that presser and see what we learn.
Our evidence is pretty clear that she was in communication with an individual. That individual appears to meet her very shortly after she leaves her place of work. And very shortly after that, she disappears off of the footprint. We have a lot of digital evidence, video and other, which provides us with this individual by the name of Keon, K-E-O-N, King, K-I-N-G. We believe this individual, and through our evidence, we were able to charge this individual.
Keon King. Recently tried to strangle a woman. She lived, then dropped the prosecution. She was at FTA, failure to appear. Why? Joining me in all-star panel, but I want to go straight out to Brian Fitzgibbons, joining us, Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security, leading a team of expert investigators around the world specializing in locating missing people. You can find him at uspasecurity.com. Brian, I don't like that he is driving around all around town, because when I've seen that happen, it's off his normal route. Okay, it's not like you going to work or you going to your site where you're working, in your case, going to the grocery store, going to church, going to synagogue, going to the school to pick up your children. It's none of that. This is just driving aimlessly around Philadelphia and the suburban area. Look, I lived in Philly. There are a lot of places you could hide a living person, abandoned buildings, all sorts of places. Or worse. What do they need to be doing right now, Fitzgibbons?
As you saw in that Philly police presser, Nancy, everything is focused on this 99 gold-colored Toyota. They are tracking that vehicle all over the city. Now, as you brought up, this is outside of a normal behavior pattern. This vehicle is seen in the last 10 days in the north of the city, in the south, east, west. Inside of these densely wooded areas that are around these population centers. So right now, the public's role is to help find that vehicle. What police are doing is everything at their disposal, license plate readers, ring cameras, security cameras, any footage of that vehicle, along with Keon King's cell phone. That's what they're tracking right now.
Guys, we're showing you the car again. Let's take a look at it. This is a 99 golden color Toyota Camry. Look at the damage on the front left. Look at that, and along the driver's side of the car. Looks like he sideswiped somebody at some point. That may be the key to finding Kata. I'm also curious about the moment they took him into custody for questioning. Where was he? Where had he been? Can he be tracked by his cell phone?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The reality is, Derek Smith joining me, criminal defense attorney, website dwsmithlegal.com. Very often we can get in a jousting competition with local carriers like AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and you have to give them a subpoena, and it takes them forever to get the records. When there is an emergency request by police and a life hangs in a balance, you can get those records a lot more quickly. Agree, disagree, Derek Smith?
Absolutely, Nancy. I mean, in cases of emergencies, there's laws or statutes in place that enable law enforcement to speed up the process and get necessary documents or information from third parties in this situation, such as cell phone carriers, in order to triangulate, try to figure out where these people may be. If they're using their phone, obviously in this case, we saw that the phone was turned off, but there's other things that they can do in order to speed things up pursuant to an investigation.
Well, hold on. Derek Smith, don't go DEFCON 4 on me. Listen, you throw out the phrase triangulate. Explain to everyone what that means. And remember, we don't have to look for just her phone that was apparently cut off.
Right.
We can follow his phone because they were traveling together. You know, if he cut her phone off, that doesn't mean her phone wasn't still with him. Okay, explain triangulation quickly.
Yes, Nancy. So these cell phone providers can, you know, with the FBI, local law enforcement, they can track a person's whereabouts pursuant if they have their phone on them. They use the SIM cards and they can follow their progress, either when they're driving in a car, whether they're walking on the street. They can use the pings off local cell phone towers to get kind of an idea of where they are geographically and follow their path to see where they're going, where they may have discarded evidence. If they stop in a certain area for a period of time, they can say, all right, the cell phone ping stopped for about 10, 15 minutes. Why was this person in this area for this period of time? Let's go check that area out, and so on and so forth. And that stuff is very important in an investigation, especially in a missing persons, to find out where they may be and where they may have gone.
Joining me, as you met earlier, Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA Nationwide Security, who his expertise is finding missing people. I find it disturbing that, you know, she had the overnight shift, right? And then suddenly she just clocked in and then suddenly leaves. And from what we're being told, she had never done anything like that before. I find that to be very probative. In other words, it proves something to me. Like, if you got up from that seat and that studio right now, tonight, and walked out, I would know something was horribly wrong because you've never done that before. I would assume there was an emergency. Similar to what Kata did that night at the assisted living where she worked. She had never done that before.
Well out of the course of her normal behavior, Nancy. And we also see in the videos that she's sharing that this is an incredibly disciplined young woman with goals. She's got a prayer wall hung up on her bedroom wall. She's talking about her education plan. She's got fitness goals that she's pursuing. This is not somebody that shows up to work and just bounces 20 minutes later. So taking that in conjunction with the fact that she was receiving these harassing texts and phone calls, this is very concerning and out of the ordinary.
Now, this is alarming, but looks can be deceiving. Listen.
Making it very clear that the case was shifted to homicide because we have the most experienced investigators in our homicide unit. They have the most experience dealing with all types of investigations. They also have the most resources available to them. And so we have the hopes that we are still treating this as if Ms. Scott is still alive. And that's why we want the public's help in trying to locate every single piece of this. But I just wanted to make that clear because I know there's been some reports once it shifted over to homicide, folks not understanding the why. And so that's the reason behind that.
Very often we see a case go from kidnapping to homicide because homicide has more resources. That's very, very common. Weigh in, Fitzgibbons.
You're going to have more detectives in that work homicide, number one. Number two, the resources that they have to fire out search warrants, the technological resources and savvy and know-how is going to go way up. So bringing them in makes a lot of sense and something that we've seen across the country a number of times.
Guys, the case has been it's been declared now a joint effort between kidnapping and homicide. Homicide has a lot more resources, detectives, power, expertise, you name it. That's why that's the cream of the crop that goes to homicide. I want to go to Dr. Gerilyn Utter, joining us, clinical psychologist specializing in psychological evaluations and risk assessments for people involved in the criminal justice system. She's the author of Mainlining Philly. Doctor, thank you for being with us. I would like to get in your mind just a moment to discuss the psychopathy behind someone that kidnaps a young woman and then keeps her hostage.
Yeah, so when you talk about somebody like Keon King, you want to keep a couple of things in mind. The first thing is we know that he has engaged in kidnapping and strangulation in the past. And unfortunately, what happened with that case is that he was not remanded. He was not charged. And when you think like that, when you're somebody that has gotten away with hurting somebody, with kidnapping a woman, and there's been absolutely no type of repercussion, what happens is we tend to see an escalation of violent behavior. There's complete disregard, and there's also a sense of entitlement when you look at psychopathy that he keeps getting away with it. I'm smarter. They didn't catch me this time. I'm bold, emboldened to continue to escalate behavior and do what he wants to do, essentially, in order to, you know, like feed his own needs, wants, and desires, because there hasn't been an opportunity where he has been checked by the law or checked by anyone. His behavior from a risk assessment perspective will continue to escalate.
You know, what I find interesting about what you just said, so many things, Gerilyn Utter, I want to look at the fact that when he strangled the last victim, it was apparently to subdue her. She lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, when you talk about something, you know, like strangulation and him trying to do that in an effort to quiet her or to keep her, the intention may not have initially been to kill her, but to quiet her. However, there's a lot of other things that are at play. You know, this is somebody that's putting their hands around someone's neck and they're strangling them. He doesn't know. He's not a medical professional. He doesn't know how far he can go before he can actually kill her or really, you know, hurt someone. The other thing that we really want to think about, and I understand that it's really easy to be angry, rightfully so, at somebody with such a violent history and that has such violent behavior, is there another severe mental illness at play here? Yes, we're talking about somebody that can be a sociopath that has no respect for women, you know, that he perhaps wanted to assault her and hurt her. However, is there something else that's happening,
Doctor,
that we don't know about?
You are not in any way suggesting just because someone is a violent criminal that they have a mental illness. I hope that's not where you're going, because we have no indication at all Keon King has any type of mental illness, just that he's mean as hell.
Yeah, well, you can be that. You can be a total scumbag. You can be mean as hell. You can be an evil person. My suggestion is that both of these things can happen at the same time. One of them can happen and you can just be pure evil. So it would be very interesting, you know, as homicide continues to question this individual, to see if there's also anything else at play, not as an excuse, but to gain more of an understanding of perhaps why he engaged in this behavior.
Don't you think right now, Dr. Utter, that what we need to focus on is finding Kada as opposed to answering the fundamental question of what the hell is wrong with him? I don't really care what's wrong with him. I want to find this girl alive. I'm not exploring or spelunking whether he is mentally ill. He's driving around town in a 99 gold Toyota Camry with this girl in it against her will. Why? Why ask why? I want to focus on, would he keep her alive? Is she alive tonight? His last victim, he kept alive. So I've got two choices. Either that's his MO, modus operandi, method of operation, that's what he does, which indicates Kada could be alive, or that's him with his baby training wheels on, and he's graduated to something worse. That's where I'm going. Take a listen to this.
She was last seen a week ago tomorrow night, shortly after arriving for her shift at an assisted living facility in Chestnut Hill. She was at work for a brief period of time, and that's it. That's the last trace of her, according to police. Her workplace, 3 miles from where this search is underway right now. Police wouldn't say how long their investigation may take here.
She came home at 9:45 p.m. Saturday night on October the 4th and then left out at 9:50 that night to go leave for work. Normal any other night, she came in, she said she got to go to work 10 to 6 a.m. and then she needed to use the car. I said, okay, she left out.
Some of that from our friends at CBS Philadelphia. Guys, I'm trying to get to the bottom of her exact movements and what happened that night. We also learn that a lot of investigative work was done at that arboretum that you keep hearing about, and we're showing you video of that. It's a very densely forested area. It covers over 56 acres. It's vast. It's huge. It's been there for over 100 years. This video from our friends at Philly CBS. There's a million places that she could be within this arboretum. This is from our friends at CBS3 and KYWTV. You know, this is what we know of what happened that night. Listen.
Police are desperately searching for Miss Pennsylvania hopeful 23-year-old Kada Scott, a recent Penn State grad last seen at the terrace at Chestnut Hill shortly after clocking in for an overnight shift at the nursing home Saturday, October 4th. Kada did not return home. Her car found still parked at the facility. Kada, 5'6", 120 pounds, long black hair, wearing black scrubs. Anyone with information? Philadelphia PD at 215-686-TIPS.
Never came back on Sunday morning at all. She's supposed to arrive. She's supposed to get off at 6 a.m. I wake up around 10:30 a.m. She's not in the room nowhere to be found. I start calling the phone straight to voicemail. She would always come home regardless, right? And then she would never have her phone off that long, ever. She would always find her charger. Yeah, something's wrong.
CBS Philly.
Kada worked overnight shifts at a senior care facility. On the night she disappeared, she left her shift early, something completely out of character. She didn't call her family, didn't check in, and hasn't been heard from since.
Right now, an APB out for a gold Toyota Camry. It has a lot of damage to the driver's side front along the entire driver's side. Look at it. Tag number, M Mother S Sirius X-ray 0797, MSX 0797. What more do we know? Listen.
Kada's mother says the nursing home giving conflicting information on how long Kada stayed. They first report Kada works her entire shift, but later say she went on break around 10:40 and did not return. Another employee says Kada clocked in to relieve a coworker, but walked out with that coworker 10:15. There are no security cameras in or outside the building.
So Philadelphia police detectives are asking the public for any information that may help them locate 23-year-old Kada Scott, the young woman last seen at work on Saturday night around 9:45 at the area nursing home in Chestnut Hill where she had clocked in for a shift. Now here's what detectives are telling us. Scott clocks in and then clocks out rather quickly and did not work a full shift. Scott's mother reported her missing the following day.
And that from our friend Joe Holden at CBS Philly. Okay, the mother calls, Kada's mother calls when she doesn't hear from Kada And this is what she says happened. Conflicting stories.
So I called on Sunday morning around 11 a.m. Whoever answered the telephone stated that she checked with the supervisor and Kayla worked her full shift from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. and she wasn't there currently. So I said, okay, you know, and then I left it alone. I started calling the hospitals and everything around in the early afternoon because I was concerned. I was thinking maybe it was a car accident, something. You know, she just not going to come home and go to sleep. And even if she went somewhere else, she still would have came home first. So, or afternoon, I was calling the hospital. So at that point, I contacted her father, and then he said he didn't hear from her. So we start calling 911.
CBS Philly Straight Out to Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter. The mom got conflicting stories, and the first thing you know, Sydney, that must be done is to nail down the timeline. What do we know?
So she left home at 9:50 p.m. to make it to her 10 p.m. shift. The nursing home is not far from her home at all, just about a mile and a half. So Kayda arrives around 10 p.m. for her shift. She clocks in, and she's gone by 10:20. This, according to Philadelphia PD. Now, first, the nursing home said that Kayda worked her entire shift and didn't leave until after 6 a.m. But we call back and we learn, oh, well, maybe she left on break at 10:40 and that's the last time we see her. No, maybe she walked out with an employee at 10:15. So lots of conflicting information, but it's been confirmed she was there for just about 20 minutes.
Okay, I find that very disturbing that for the first time she leaves work early. Now, I want to circle back to what we know about Keon King and his, quote, similar transaction.
When I picked up this investigation, one of the things that our office also learned was that he did have a previous case. It was a 2025 case for very similar conduct, strangulation and kidnapping. That case had been withdrawn by our office based on the witness failing to appear at court. I pulled that file, and after an extensive review of it, our office made the decision to refile those charges.
Now they're thinking of refiling those charges. That is a ploy. Derek Smith joining me, veteran criminal defense attorney. When you suspect someone of wrongdoing, and this is completely constitutional, so don't tune up on that, Smith. You find another offense. You know they did. And you charge them. Then they're stuck. They're behind bars. And you have a chance to find Kayda. You see where I'm going with this? Explain what they're doing.
Well, Nancy, they're trying to put heat on this guy. I mean, why would he talk? He has no reason to talk. I mean, I tell a lot of my clients, you know, if you don't have me present or another counsel there with you, it's probably not in your best interest to talk because you're going to incriminate yourself or give them information that can lead to a possible other issue that you might have. So they're going to need to find something on this guy. And whether it was a previous indictment that they dismissed without prejudice.
Excuse me. Put him up. Derek Smith, what do you mean they're going to need to find something? It fell on their head, please. Well, on a silver platter on top of a Christmas tree. They don't have to go looking and be Sherlock Holmes. He's already strangled one woman and she dropped charges. Hello? They don't have to go searching. It's right there. There. Indict the case of the other strangulation.
Well, the problem with that is why did they drop it in the first place? I mean, if there was no substantial
that's not the problem
to bring the case forward without the victim, that's why they had to drop the case initially. But I understand, you know, bringing the case back up, get this man in the system, get him back behind bars, put some heat on him to question him as to where Kayda is. Find this girl. Because what is happening right now is they're going to question him. And what evidence do they have besides right now the cell phone that he has? And he does have a prior, but that prior was dropped. So he does not have a prior charge right now. He has a prior dismissed without prejudice indictment, meaning that the state can bring it back. And I believe that they are now from what you've told me. And that will help to put the heat on him to make him talk about what he knows about Kayda. How can we find her?
Derek Smith, I don't like anything that you just said. Number one, I guess you looked in your defense attorney crystal ball and you could divine why the charge was dropped last time. It was very clearly dropped because the victim was afraid to go forward. It's not that the state didn't have evidence. The victim was an FTA, failure to appear. That's why the case did not go forward. All this requires is a little drive over to her house and ask her what happened, get her on recording, and go indict it. That's what is required right now. So you acted like the state didn't have the evidence. The evidence didn't want to testify, okay? So we have an initial police report, and we have the witness if she's still alive. Now, let's talk about what exactly happened in that case. Now, one thing you said I agree with. They're going to put the heat on him, and I mean red hot, so they can find Kata. And they're going to use this prior aggravated assault on another female victim who probably looks a lot like Kata, in my experience. A particular type of victim is picked out. And they're going to use that case, and they're going to find out where Kata is. That's my hope. But let's hear some more about those particulars. Listen, Derek Smith.
That case is an individual that was known to him, a domestic in nature. And what I can say is the allegations in that case are that he kidnapped a woman in front of her house, threw her in her car, assaulted her, and then eventually let her out of the car. There is some video evidence, I believe, that'll be played at the preliminary hearing, but that was domestic in nature.
And do you have a time or about when that happened?
It was this year in 2025. The case was withdrawn in May.
Dear Lord in heaven, this is a fingerprint crime. Fitzgibbons, help me out. Did you hear what Ellie just said in the other case? And this was not that long ago. It was in 2025. It is a female victim, domestic in nature. In other words, he knows the female. They're having some kind of a relationship. Listen, he kidnapped her in front of her house. Here, Kate is taken in front of her workplace, we believe. Throws her in a car, ringing a bell, the gold Toyota
Absolutely.
Camry. Assaulted her, which I assume to be a sex assault. Can't tell. Maybe he beat her. And then eventually let her out of the car. It's a fingerprint crime, Fitzgibbons.
It sounds almost exactly like what could be happening here, except the added echelon that maybe he only knew Kata through social media, and that this subject has gotten more aggressive as time has got on. So, you know, certainly we have to find that, you know, police are going to find that previous victim and hopefully be able to move forward with those charges so they stick.
Back to our renowned psychologist joining us, Dr. Darilyn Utter. She's a producer of Utter Nonsense, an exploratory documentary. It's on Apple Streaming and Prime Video. Dr. Jerry, if I may call you that,
sure.
I know this is a fundamental question you ask yourself every day. What is wrong with him? Did he not learn from the first time he strangled a woman, assaulted her, threw her in a car, assaulted her, kidnapped her in a place where she thought she was secure, and then throws her out? It's the same thing all over again. I just pray to God Kate is still alive.
Yeah, it's not about him learning anything, because he's clearly a disturbed individual. Actually, this part of my language, but this turned him on even more. This kind of turned up his barometer for violence and for testing the limits. And whatever other type of deviance he's going on, we don't know if she was sexually assaulted, the other female, or beaten, you know, to your point. But whatever happens, it whet his appetite even more. So hence him then, you know, perhaps going after somebody like Kata, who may, to your point, be similar in a lot of ways to the other female that he had assaulted earlier this year.
She disappeared off social media, so it's concerning. You know, any young people today, they can't live without having a phone in her hand. So that's a concern. You left her car behind. It's certainly something that's not usual of somebody who's missing voluntarily. It's a troubling missing person report. It's certainly troubling. So we don't know if foul play was involved, but we certainly see some signs that this person wasn't voluntarily missing. So because of that, we're doing everything we can to figure out who she contacted and where she is now.
Kata, she's a really social person. Like, she's more social than I am. And the fact that when I texted her and didn't deliver, I got even more worried. Even hearing it was scary. But when I texted her and I didn't get a text back, it was definitely concerning.
CBS Philly. Multiple reports that Kata was being harassed just before she went missing.
Earlier this week, police said Kata Scott had been harassed by someone. I asked police if they've been able to identify who that person may be. A deputy commissioner said he wouldn't comment on any possible interviews the department has conducted.
It's harassed, threatened, so we're a little concerned because she didn't tell us, of course, but other her friends, and, you know, she did mention it to them, but didn't give any names, names or anything like that. So we're trying to piece everything together to find out exactly who these people are.
Who was harassing Kata? Was it Keon King? We wait and pray tonight as justice unfolds. That sound from our friends at CBS Philly. And now we remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Charles Riley, Iberville Parish Sheriff's Louisiana, shot in the line of duty, leaving behind a grieving wife and two beautiful daughters. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Charles Riley. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.